One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba. Just Gordy. Gordy, can I bother you for a second?
Well, Grace, I've been wheeling and dealing so long today in the studio that I forgot I have not even ate. But that's okay. Why is that okay? Because the Brinley Dumb Show is presented to you by Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days using promo code BROBIBLE. $100 of free delivery credit with Postmates. Download that app now. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
All right, folks, coming to you live here. You know the drill. It's the Brinley Dumb Show, coming to you early, coming to you often. Episode 76. I'm Big Game Bob. That is Grace Ibrahim behind the glass on the ones and twos. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves an interview day today. Ethan Supley. For those of you who don't know Ethan Supley, you probably do. You just don't know that you know Ethan Supley. Ethan Supley played Louis Lastic in Remember the Titans. Ethan Supley played Tuna in Blow with Johnny Depp. He's been in Wolf of Wall Street. He's been in Boy Meets World. He runs a podcast under Kevin Connolly's company called Action Park Media. And it's a very successful podcast. It has a lot to do with health and fitness. Ethan Supley used to be a very big, just an obese man. He really was. And he always played big guy roles. And definitely was a very heavy set fella and made an incredible, incredible transformation. Just one for the ages. It really was. And it's pretty interesting stuff. It really is. He's an interesting guy. He's seen a lot. Again, he's been on sets with Denzel Washington, Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's seen it all. I was leaving Kevin Connolly's studio when I finished recording with Entourage the other day, and I walked out, and he lost so much weight that I was always a big fan of him. But as I'm walking out, I looked at him, and I said, man, that guy looks so familiar. But I couldn't put my finger on it, again, because he looks pretty much like a whole different person. And I'd say 10 minutes later, I got a call from somebody who works for Kevin Connolly, and she said, Ethan Supley's actually a big fan of yours and recognized that, you know, when you went outside that you were here, he would love to come on the show. I said, hold on. That was Ethan Supley? And to top it off, on top of that, he's a fan of me? He's a fan of mine? So it just was really cool. It really was. It was a bizarre moment, A, figuring out that that was him, and B, finding out he's a fan. I went to follow him on Instagram. He's been riding the Brinley Dumb train. We bring him on here. I'm going to take you to the episode with him now. Very interesting character. Go check out his podcast, American Glutton. Folks, enjoy the show here. Here we are, folks, the Brilliantly Dumb Show, sitting here with Ethan Supley. Ethan, in all honesty, you might be one of the only guys that made a Wikipedia editor tired when he's putting in the amount of movies and shows you've done.
It's a lot of movies.
This Wikipedia, is an American film and television actor best known for his roles as Seth Ryan in American History X, Louis Lastic in Remember the Titans, Frankie in Boy Meets World, Randy Hickey in My Name is Earl, Toby in The Wolf of Wall Street, Elwood in Without a Paddle. You'd think eventually they would stop.
And just go, that's enough, they got it. They figured it out. Did they do Boy Meets World? That's a critical
Boy Meets World on that. They just kept it rolling. You would think eventually they would start, process of elimination.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this. You've been a workhorse since, 93? And you've been in some of these movies are arguably, to me, blowing Remember the Titans. I don't think it's crazy to have that on top five all time.
I mean, top five all time?
I got
no issue. You're saying right along with Lawrence of Arabia and The Godfather Part Two is blow?
I'm saying from a kid who was born in 93. Okay. I don't think it's crazy if somebody makes that argument. I'm okay with that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You maybe haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia in the theaters. Okay, then that's fair.
Well, even Connolly will throw some movies at me that I have no idea. I mean, I had never heard them.
Right.
So, from my era, I'm okay putting those two top five.
Okay, that's fair.
Do you ever sleep?
No, not much. I don't sleep a lot. I have four kids, though. Do you go by Robbie or Bob?
Robbie, but you could call me Bob.
Okay.
I mean, you could throw anything at me.
Because I knew you. I came to know you as Robbie, but then I heard you refer to yourself as Bob a number of times, and I got thrown off because, identity is very important nowadays.
There's a lot of things Bobby goes with that I can just let it fly. So right. Robbie's good just kind of on the fly.
Yeah. So it's almost like alternate personalities, switching gears.
In a way. Bobby will come out a lot of times on the Instagram.
Yeah.
But, you could go Bob, you could go Rob, whatever you want to play.
Okay, good.
Now, I want to talk about that because I'm leaving the studio the other day. Okay.
Yeah.
We had just recorded with the Entourage crew, and I'm walking out. And now I have heard of this transformation of you with this weight loss. I walked by you. I see the face. I recognize the face. But it's such a transition that you have made that I didn't even put two and two together that it was you. What finally clicked for you as far as for this whole weight loss? I mean, it's insane.
It's insane. I want to just say – I, too, had a similar reaction seeing you. We come in here. You don't typically record here. I'd never seen you here before. We're in the studio that I record all my episodes in. And I said to Narod, the studio manager, I was like, what's Brilliantly Dumb doing here?
That's amazing to me.
And she was like, he's our friend. He comes in here a lot. And I was like, I love that guy. So thank you. I knew exactly who you were when I saw you. You didn't know who I was. But that's fine. That's completely fair. Only been in 70 movies. No big deal.
Wikipedia says so right here.
That's right. I didn't care. It's not like I woke up one day and I said, I want to be healthy or anything like that. It was really about a girl who I got a kind of embarrassed on a flight with another actor, and I felt a little bit weird, and I was seeing, and this girl wasn't on the flight with me, and I was seeing this girl, and there was a lot of stuff she wanted to do in life that back then, if you told me, you want to spend the day walking around a museum, I say, have fun. I'm not up for that. That's not something I do. I get in a car. I go to a nightclub. I sit in a bar. I do a lot of sitting. I'm a professional sitter. And for money, I'll walk very short places from, you walk through the door, you say your lines, they say cut, you're done. It's not a lot of heavy lifting in that way. So this girl I'm seeing who I actually really care about, this is back 20 years ago or a little more, and she liked to do active stuff. She liked to spend the day walking on hiking trails and going to museums and spending the day on the beach, which was pretty awkward for me too. And it was more just an idea of I don't want to be embarrassed again. I also want to have a fun life with her. Like that life, the shit she wants to do. Do we say shit?
Let it rip.
Okay,
let
good.
It rip.
all that stuff feels like a funner life than I'm leading right now. So it was really an urge to improve myself to enjoy life with her, and it worked out. And along the in the last 20 years of working on this, I've definitely gone up and down. I've had struggles. I've had setbacks. I was cycling a lot, bicycle riding. I've had severe crashes. You know, so.
But was it hard for you to enjoy the success you were having in your career with the weight? Was it bothering you so much that you couldn't even take in the success that you were having at the time?
That's an interesting thing too, because I feel like at some point as a really overweight person, I had shields that would deflect from the fact that I'm so overweight. And some of them were success as an actor is a shield. So you look at me and you're not just seeing how fat I am. You're seeing, here's an actor we saw in a movie, which kind of is a distraction. I also had a lot of famous friends that were also distractions. So you look at this group of faces and people will gravitate towards the most famous one. That's never been me. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I had these, it was most of my life was built up to avoid dealing with the fact that I was pretty miserable. I had substance abuse problems. I had eating disorders. I was a very unhappy person generally. And I just had ways, you know, I think a lot of, you can kind of relate to the idea that like overweight people can be the class clown. I think of that as like another shield. It's a deflection.
Right.
Like I'm going to make you laugh so you don't have, like I'm going to poke fun at myself first and you're going to laugh and therefore you won't poke fun at me. That kind of thing.
But on another spectrum, is it safe to say that you wouldn't have got some of the roles that you have got if you didn't have, for example, Louis Lastic, Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
At the same time, is it safe to say you wouldn't got a lot of these roles if you didn't have it? So maybe I'm looking at the glass half full here, but is that another way to look at it?
100%. I was definitely, for a period of time in the late 90s, like the go-to fat guy, for sure. You know, Chris Farley had passed away, but he was also like a huge movie star. I was never a huge movie star, but I was consistently in these kind of renowned movies and always because I was the big guy, you know? I definitely wouldn't have gotten some of those parts. Now, there's a great argument for the fact that the real Louis Lastic was overweight, but never as big as I was. I mean, I was morbidly obese. Louis Lastic, you know, think about like an overweight football player in high school. We're talking about 20, 30 pounds,
right?
And that's reasonable to play football with 20, 40 pounds of excess fat. That's fine. People do that all the time. But when you're talking about 150 plus pounds of excess fat, there's nobody playing football at that size ever. Right. And so I think movies like Remember the Titans, they needed an overweight guy, and I somehow squeaked in, though I could have been 100 pounds lighter than I was, and it actually would have been better.
And they still would have had taken it.
Probably.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think so. I look at Remember the Titans, and I feel that it's a great movie because I've been told it's a great movie.
It's
I've not
phenomenal.
Watched it, but when I've seen pictures of myself in it, I wish at that point I had been 100 pounds lighter.
But
know?
Can you look at it and can you watch Remember the Titans and realize how far that you've come? Can you appreciate it for the job that it was and at this on the same spectrum say, wow, look how far that I've come?
Yes, that for sure. I can appreciate the progress I've made from that.
Right.
It is hard for me to – I've never enjoyed watching myself act, so I don't tend to watch things, but I am confronted with images quite often, and I can certainly go like, fuck, I hadn't thought about that in a while, but I remember what it was like being that size, and thank God I'm not as uncomfortable today as I was then.
You know, I wanted to talk, and while we're on the subject of Remember the Titans, I wanted to ask you, is it crazy to realize now so more than ever how relevant that movie is, that was 2000 when that came out. Is it crazy now to look back on it and see how relevant that movie still is?
Yeah, it's really wild. You know, these things are very tricky. It's so relevant now, as American History X is another movie with a very strong anti-racist commentary. And they're both very relevant today. I almost wish they had been more relevant when they were made, you know, but maybe people watch them again now and go like, oh, I hadn't thought about that, or I hadn't thought about that aspect, you know?
Right. What's it like showing up every single day? Is everybody kind of on their A game? You've worked with a lot of top people, Denzel Washington, Johnny Depp. Is everybody kind of on their A game when they show up to a set, rather than other sets that you have done when one of these guys are here? Is it a different vibe?
Yeah. Remember the Titans was interesting because I've done three movies with Denzel.
Right. John Q
and Unstoppable.
Right.
Remember the Titans, there was Denzel, and the majority of the people in it were younger kids my age, I was maybe 20 at the time, right? 19 or 20.
Young Ryan Gosling in there too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan Hurst, Wood Harris, like really great young actors. And so there was for sure, there was also like the dynamic of we're the team and they're the coaching staff. So it was certainly a little bit more lax when they weren't in scenes or we had scenes without them. Like goofing off in the locker room was a little bit more of a like, let's get silly and tell jokes and crack jokes.
Right.
And if it's a scene with Denzel, it's a little bit of like a
more serious where he
fucking
comes in.
Mind our P's and Q's.
Right.
You know, this is like a legendary dude. I'm a young kid. This is my second or third movie. You know, fucking see that guy cry in glory. Like that
totally.
Guy's he's a legend. So
totally.
We're going to do this all right.
Who was one of the guys that you were, out of all the guys that you worked with, that you were most blown away with, whether they were just so prepared or just their level of skill? Was it a Johnny Depp? Is it a Denzel? Somebody that just really blew you away.
This is I feel like I told this story before he got very famous. Ryan Gosling, when we were doing rehearsals, you know, the director's this guy named Boaz, and we would meet in his hotel room, and we would all sit around, all the football guys, all the young guys, and we would talk about stuff and the dynamics of the scene and the tension that he wanted and what he was looking for, and then we would even break it down into individual characters and stuff, and everything was pretty straightforward. And then you got to Ryan, and he would start talking about stuff where Boaz would be like, hold on, what? No, that's going to be a distraction. And Ryan would go like, no, no, I promise it's not. And if it is, you can tell me and I won't do it. But he had these ideas and he did stuff that became layered within. It was a very small role that could have gotten lost, and it wasn't. He's actually, he absolutely shines in the movie because he was making choices that were just for himself, you know what I mean, in a creative way.
Right.
So I was really impressed by him willing to make these choices, and that had nothing to do with like the tone of the scene, that also weren't distracting at all, that fit utterly. He gave himself a storyline that wasn't in the script at all, you know.
You know what's amazing? You say it, and it's so true. He did have it was kind of like a small character, but you remember him.
Totally.
Like, he really kind of found his way in there.
Yeah. He did it in a way that was incredibly impressive. And I've done other ensemble things, and there can be, like, kind of shoving for camera time and, like, making sure he wasn't anything like that.
Not at
it
all.
Was all character. It was all what his motivations were in the scene, and it's I remember watching some of the scenes with him and just going like, oh my God, he's destroying all of us, this kid, with his fucking creative choices.
And then sure enough,
of course, he becomes this huge movie star, which is well deserved. He's awesome.
When you're on these sets, are there certain times when you're on the set and you've been on tons of shows, movies, where you say to yourself and you know this is going to be a hit, this is going to be good, or is it just you really never know how something's going to be?
There have been times, certainly while doing something, where you show up and it's a little bit, you never really know. I didn't know. I mean, look, it was Denzel Washington's the lead of our movie. I knew they don't really make Denzel Washington right. movies. They're good. The movie's going to be good. People are going to see it. I had doing Mallrats, which is only a few years before that, I just assumed, like, you make a movie and you're, like, a movie star. Now you've entered this market of being a movie actor and you don't have to do TV anymore. Now you're a movie guy.
Right.
Not really true. I mean, strangely for me, it was. Like, I had done Boy Meets World and then I did Mallrats. And then for a number of years, I did only do movies. But it was still a scrap. You right. know, it was still, like, in the trenches trying to get work. It wasn't like, oh, you were in a movie, now you're a movie guy. Although I say that and now I think back, there was 10 years of just doing movies after that. You know, the idea, like I think you can be a guy like Ryan Gosling and do something so perfectly in a movie, and I don't think it comes from this necessarily. It was probably the movie or two he did subsequently to Remember the Titans, but where you're doing something that's just at another level of creativity and people recognize that. And then there's like a clamoring to get you in the movie. You know what I mean?
And it was that noticeable on set that he had it.
I remember talking to him and hearing about some of his choices, and they were just a layer of like, I was a young kid. I was 20 years old. I'm reading the thing, and it's like, I want to go to college. That's my motivation. So, okay, what's my motivation? I want to go to college. That's it. That's what I'm playing. He was playing, like, the dream he had the night before. And you know what I mean?
It was just on another level.
That's not literal. I'm not saying he was literally playing that, but it was another level. It was like, what do I have going on for myself right now? If I'm going to break down this scene, if I'm going to pretend like we're shooting a movie right now, you're interviewing me. Now, it can go that base, and I can just go like, I'm a guy sitting in a studio being interviewed, period, done. Or it can go like into, what did I have for breakfast? And was my kid mad at me last night because we tried to work on her math homework and she got frustrated and I wasn't super nice and I lost my temper with her a little bit, and I, you know, and then my dog shit on my rug. Like, you know what I mean? How would that affect me today? Because it could. And do I have a secret? And not necessarily a secret from you, a secret from the world. And how would that play into my motivation? And all of these things, he was doing shit like that. And I'm like, we're high school kids. We're playing football. It's about, you know, the black kids not being welcomed, and we want to welcome them, and it's about integration, and that's it. That's what we're doing. That's where I was. And he was at, like, no, I'm playing a character that has a whole story and a whole life that I'm going to be existing in that people are going to pick up on, even if they don't have no idea what's motivating it. Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's amazing, too, because, and with you guys saying that you were so young, you know, at the time, too, and it sounds like he was looking at things from such a mature, you know, perspective. Kids who are that young, or, you know, child actors, do you almost feel like they wish they had some time to mature and grow in real-life scenarios to learn that type of stuff so then they could take that to their acting?
Yeah.
Because some of these kids, they get thrown in so early, and your life's not, you don't have a normal life.
Yeah.
Do you think that affects it 100%, in some way?
Totally. I think it does. You kind of always feel a little bit bad for kid actors, because it's like being a carnival worker.
So dinner time, Rob, what are you thinking?
Al, I actually think I'm going to go with my fourth dish of chicken parm this week.
You're a chicken parmaholic, bro.
Can't stop.
Yeah.
And I can get it anytime I want, anytime I need it.
You can.
You know how?
No, tell me.
Using the Postmates app.
Oh, I love it.
From an early morning breakfast burrito to a bottle of wine after work, maybe that bottle of wine turns into three bottles of wine, Alex. You could Postmate some Advil, too. They do it all over at Postmates. For a limited time only, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code BROBIBLE. That's code BROBIBLE for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Alex, that's a lot of fucking bottles of wine. Right,
and chicken parm.
And chicken parms.
A little bit of both.
Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
You know, and I think it's a terrible life for a kid. I will say I took I learned from him and then would start to do stuff like that later on My Name is Earl. I remember, and this is a direct, like, I learned basically this from Ryan Gosling, but it was Randy Hickey. Let me make this a real guy. What are Randy Hickey's obsessions? He's obsessed with aliens. So Randy Hickey's now obsessed with aliens. And what are some other things? Oh, he has a deviated septum, so he can't breathe through his nose. So he's always breathing through his mouth. So just little things like that. If there was ever a scene where I'm outside in My Name is Earl, I'm always looking up because I'm looking for aliens.
Right.
That's it. It's never explained in the show. Not one time is it referenced. It had nothing to do with it, but it's like filling the character out in those ways. And I don't know, maybe like the best kid actors are coming in with instincts like that. But I think for the most part, people are coming in and going like, what's written here? What is the scene about? What's the motivation? What's my motivation in the scene? Boom, I'm going to do that. But you can add weird, interesting flavors that we all have from being human beings and living in life. You got to recognize them. You got to look for them. Where do my proclivities lead me? And
right.
Where do my interests lead me? And how do I act and react that's different from another person? And why is that? And so now if I can choose things that aren't necessarily true for me or not true for me at all, but create this character that has some of these things too, it becomes better. It's more interesting.
Would you say that Boy Meets World is what broke you out?
For sure.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
And that got you into the game?
Yeah. I mean, that was the first job I had, and I wound up doing that for a couple of years.
Yep.
And it was like real work, and I really learned to act on Boy Meets World. Now, it's a completely different version of acting than in a movie because
that's what I was going to throw you away.
It's multiple cameras. There's a timing to sitcoms that's different from the way you would necessarily talk in real life or in a movie. But just the idea of like where your eye lines are. So if the camera's shooting you from here, if the camera's over this shoulder, over your right shoulder, I got to look at your right eye because I want my eyes to not be like, it makes a huge difference. If I'm looking at your left eye to the camera, it could look like I'm looking all the way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So little things like that I learned doing Boy Meets World, you know, where how to hit a mark. You know, they fucking, you don't see this in a movie, but the floor of anywhere that they're shooting has tape all over it in different colors, and each actor has their own color. And you got to walk in and stand at that line because somebody's taken a measurement of the distance and they focused the camera exactly for you to stand right there. So even just a scene where you have two people walk into a room and have a conversation, there are very specific places they have to go.
So much more that goes into it too.
Yeah. And all of that stuff, I had no idea that existed at all. I went on an audition to play a bully, and like was my second audition I'd ever been on. And the next day I was getting wardrobe fitting. I was a teenager. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And so I really, and a lot of people watched that show.
Tons.
Yeah.
Tons. What would you say is the most memorable set that you've been on, whether movie or TV show? When you think back to your career, what were some of the best moments you think you've had?
My favorite job has been a television show I did called Chance.
Okay.
That was on Hulu. We did it for a couple of years, me and Hugh Laurie, and I'd play a total badass. And it was so fun because I'm like a super intelligent badass. And I'd only played like kind of dim-witted, mostly. I actually did a movie with Darren Aronofsky called The Fountain, where I played a lab technician, and I had to know how brain surgeries worked. So I went and watched people do brain surgeries, which is fun, kind of learning what you're doing. So I haven't only played dim-witted people, but more often than not, I'm playing like a sweet, kind of not bright person. So in this TV show Chance, I'm playing like a really intelligent, philosophical, badass dude who fights with knives and shoots guns and stuff. That was so fun.
See, that's interesting, because now that you have this whole transformation, and now that you're as ripped as you are, would you want to take on those type of roles now?
Absolutely.
Do you now seek those more so?
I don't know if I seek them. Look, there's nobody seeking anything right now because the whole industry is closed. So there's no opportunity to seek it. When we get back to work, yes, I would probably try to seek out work of that nature more than playing the dim, sweet, lovable guy.
Right. Which, you know, at least you'll be able to go back to and realize the different characters that you have gotten to play over the years.
Yeah.
Tell me, outside of that, you got the podcast American Glutton, the podcast. What's that been like, making the transformation? I said to you off air, did you know what podcasts were even before that? What has that transition been like for you?
Podcasts I knew about. I don't understand internet culture and internet subculture very well. And I have kids who, some of them are younger. So, I mean, younger, the youngest is 13. But at 13, she sometimes says stuff and I'm like, what does that mean? I don't understand. And she'll tell me like, it's this TikTok saying.
Or
it's
love TikTok.
It's
yeah.
a Snapchat thing. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that I can. You know what I mean? Like I have trouble making an Instagram post. So that kind of stuff, I don't understand at all. But podcasts I like and I listen to. Kevin Connolly, who started Action Park, and I share a real affinity for podcasts. And so the idea of doing a podcast was super interesting to me. I was a little bit scared because, you know, I think a lot of Connolly and my conversations become political or philosophical. And that's a universe where people really will not give you the space to have an idea if they consider it to be a bad idea.
Right.
A bad idea could be dangerous. And that, to me, is just not worth risking whatever my livelihood is because I had a bad idea once. Now, so a conversation that I'm willing to have privately with a friend, I wouldn't necessarily be willing to have publicly.
Right.
And so for a while, me and Kevin were talking, and he was like making this studio and saying, you got to do a podcast. And I was like, what the fuck am I going to talk about? Like, what do you want me to get canceled tomorrow? Like, I don't want to do a podcast.
But it almost, you listen to your podcast, it's almost like it's a relief to you to tell your story. When you're getting yes. it out, you can hear that you're enjoying doing it.
Yes. When we landed on health, because this is something that I think about every day.
Right.
I think about multiple times a day. So when we finally landed on, oh, this is something I can talk about, it was a relief. It was a total relief because nothing in my ideas about health – are prescriptive. I don't believe anybody should be a certain way physically. I think people should be what they want to be physically. So I don't think there's anything dangerous about that. I would encourage people to minimally attempt to achieve their physical goals. And then within that, I would try to find and talk to people who can assist in achieving physical goals. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So it was a relief. It was truly a relief. It was discovering something that I'm passionate about, that however, I was a little nervous too, because I was unwilling up until that point to really talk about it. In 2011 or 12, I had lost a bunch of weight, and I was actually much thinner than I am now, much smaller, not super comfortable. And the few pictures that the press chose to use of me, they I would get followed by paparazzi, and they would frame it in like, he doesn't look great.
So does that make it worse though? If you're already worried about, you know, the way you were looking, and you said you struggled with drug problems earlier, is it harder when you're under the spotlight, when you have a TMZ or somebody following you around? Does it heighten it that much more?
It really hurt. It hurt my feelings, but it also made me decide at that point, like, well, this is something I'm not going to talk about. This is something I'm going to pretend hasn't occurred. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm then a guy who went from 540 pounds to under 220 pounds.
That's insane.
And I'm actually literally thin, but I would have like TMZ take pictures of me and then listen to the people on TMZ go, but he's still fat. Now, at 220 pounds, I was around 12% body fat, which was way lower than most of the people commenting on it. I don't know what universe you could actually call me fat. You know, if somebody said I look fat right now, I'd go, yeah, maybe a little fat. I want to lose 5-10 pounds. At 218, 216
I just
pounds,
told you look like Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan doesn't have any body fat, though.
Right. And last checked, I was 13% body fat. I'd like to lose 7-8 pounds of fat, you know, and get that number lower.
Could you imagine a time in whenever it was, early 1900, 1993, 1995, whatever it may have been, you know, when you were at your worst, where you would be not upset, but not satisfied with 13% body fat?
Let's be honest. In the 90s, I didn't know what body fat percentages were. I have no idea what my body fat percentage was back then. I would think it was like 50% body fat. I don't know. That kind of thing. I was more like, I'd like to not go to sleep with swollen ankles. I'd like to, you know what I mean? I'd like to not have to be afraid that every chair I sit in is going to collapse. Those were the things that were literally my day-to-day concerns.
Well, even hearing your podcast, which is really interesting, is that, again, just like you said, some of those everyday concerns is something that you would not necessarily think about, and you hear it, and it's really interesting to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and then making that to get it to where you are now, it's got to be very rewarding for you, though.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I think there are a lot of people who are as big as I was at my biggest. A lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but there are people of that size. I would be willing to bet, and maybe I'm wrong, but it wasn't a concern for me, that on their day-to-day life, they're not necessarily going, I want health. Health was completely irrelevant. I was not thinking, I mean, there were a few times where I was scared I was going to die, and that would last a short period, and then I wouldn't think about it anymore, you know. Having to wear multiple t-shirts because I would sweat through them no matter what the weather was. If it's cold and raining, I'm going to sweat through my t-shirt, period. So I have to have an undershirt on at all time. that's something I wanted to get rid of. You know what I mean? Rash on my stomach because my stomach got so big that it started to hang over itself and it would rub and get irritated. I didn't want that. Flying anywhere and knowing that I don't even really fit in a first class seat and I have to have a seatbelt extension.
I remember hearing you say that even about that.
That this is, these are the things that I was sick and tired of. You know what I mean? And now there's certainly a universe where I go like, well, I wish they had bigger airplane seats. By the way, I still wish they had bigger airplane seats today.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Know that about it.
No, there's not a single person who gets into a normal airplane seat and goes, ah, this is it.
This is good.
I'm, you know, if I had to choose between the Lazy Boy and this, I'm choosing this every day.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. But like, I understand also, like, if you're servicing people the way an airplane does and you go like, we got to pack a bunch of people on here. What is the size that everybody fits in or that the majority fit in or the statistically people will fit in or whatever that fucking, whatever you figure out. Why make a bunch of bigger seats? It doesn't make sense, right? I get it. So if I'm the odd man out, I'm sick of this because if they make a bigger seat, I'm still going to be exhausted by the time I walk through the airport to the bigger seat. What are they supposed to do? Get me a conveyor belt to shoot me there? You know what right. I mean? Like there's not going to be a point where I'm not feeling discomfort almost constantly that is within my grasp at changing. So I don't give a shit about health. Like now I do. But as far as like applying selling somebody else on health, like you should be healthy because health is good. Fucking, I don't give a shit. People play video games for a living today. Like, what the fuck does that guy need to be able to run a marathon for unless he wants to? It doesn't matter.
If somebody asked you, if somebody came to you and they had a really big movie role for you, but they wanted you to go back to where you were a more heavy set guy, Louis Lastic type character, would you do it if it was a huge, huge role?
Not that big, no.
You couldn't?
No, not that big. I mean, that's 250 pounds or more even. You know, that's like I'd have to double my body weight.
I almost feel like you're at a such good spot mentally, though, that you could even get back there if need be. That now you kind of have it figured out to a way to where it's like you could, if you really wanted to, go there and then come back down.
I was fucking with my wife the other day, and I said to her something like, I can't wait to get offered a part where I gain weight. I'm going to be an expert at this, right? And she was like, you will be an expert at wearing a fat suit. You know, that was her position.
Yeah.
But I think like, yeah, I mean, if there was a role where it was like gain 30 pounds of fat, I fucking crush that.
In a heartbeat, no doubt about it.
No problem. Yeah. Even if you go like 50 pounds, I could do that no problem. But once you get into 100, 200, 250, 260, 70 pounds of fat, I think that's going to be...
Just a total different ballgame.
Yeah, it's the... Listen, part of me and losing weight and exercising, there's a kind of a search for discomfort, for suffering that you look for. I'm going to make myself uncomfortable. I'm going to do this diet that makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to do an extra set that makes me uncomfortable. Like you have to enjoy that a little bit. But all those things that I lived through for 20 years or 25, 30 years of my life, not quite that long, I don't know, from 5 to 26, 28, whatever it was. I have no fucking idea how old that was. Anyway, that period of my life, the discomfort was so constant and so severe that I don't know that I'd be willing to trade, you know, I mean, $1 billion really isn't worth it to be that uncomfortable all the time.
It's funny though, because it's back to kind of what we said as far as it's kind of a double-edged sword to where you were doing so well in your career. I mean, you were coming in movies after movies, show, Boy Meets World and all that. But then at the same time, mentally, you don't feel up to par, so it's kind of hard to enjoy how good it was.
Yeah. I don't think I did enjoy how good it was. I don't think I knew how to enjoy. I mean, it was a shield. It was a barrier I could throw up in public of, is that guy looking at me because I'm morbidly obese, or is he looking at me because he recognizes me from a TV show? You know what I mean? I'm gonna just go with TV show. And now, because I have this shield that's a potential shield most of the time, because I can't be totally sure why somebody's looking at me, it sets me a little bit more at ease. So rather than owning it and being like, God, check me out, I'm a fucking actor. I wanted to be an actor and I'm an actor. That's not a super easy thing to pull off
totally.
At all. It was just like a barrier between me existing in the world and as who I was and kind of having this protection up of like, you know, somebody saying something that I would then have some moral quandary about having to confront them on or pretend I didn't hear it or, you know what I mean? Or I didn't catch the look, I got a blinder up, you know, that whole thing.
What's next for Ethan Supley? You keep pumping out the podcast. You got American Glutton thriving right now on the charts. Do you keep pumping those out?
Yeah. I want to say it's great because we can do this. We can have this conversation right now when a huge part of the world is shut down. That's a silver lining. I don't want to sound smug like I have something to do while people are out of work. But I have been really thankful because a little bit of the podcast, too, keeps me accountable, keeps me focused, keeps me centered. I'm on track with what I have to do. And, I've been enjoying doing it.
Folks, there you have it. Go check it out. American Glutton, the podcast. Ethan, I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, my man. Appreciate it.
Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba. Gordy. Gordy, can I bother you for a second?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.